Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. When you have a desire, either back it up with action or let it go. To believe you want something which is, well, which you're not even trying to achieve, is self-defeating. So the question is, actually there are seven questions. Seven questions we want you to ponder. We're going to repeat each of them twice so you can write them down and answer them later on. What motivates you to greater action? What motivates you to greater action?
What motivates you to be the best you can possibly be? What motivates you to be the best you can possibly be?
What motivates you to move outside your comfort zone? What motivates you to move outside your comfort zone?
What motivates you to do something you've never done before? What would motivate you to do something you've never done before?
What motivates you to tap into previously unused potential that God has placed within you? What motivates you to tap into previously unused potential God has placed within you?
What motivates you to dream as you've never dreamed before? What motivates you to dream, we might say new dreams, honey, yeah, as you've never dreamed before?
And seven, what motivates you to desire to hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? What motivates you with a desire to hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? Here are seven desires which will keep us motivated to greater success. Number one, desire for personal relationship. When you pursue His presence with a passion, when it's your greatest desire, then you'll find success always knocking on your door. We're to begin each new day seeking His presence, determining His will for our lives for that day. And that's why we spend the first 2 weeks of the year teaching the book Two Chairs, so we can be in His presence.
Proverbs 8, verses 32 through 35. Proverbs chapter 8, 32 through 35 in the Message Bible says, "So my dear friends, listen carefully. Those who embrace these ways are most blessed. Mark a life of discipline and live wisely. Don't squander your precious life. Bless the man, bless the woman who listens to me. Awake and ready for me each morning, alert and responsive as I start my day's work. When you find me, you find life, real life, to say nothing of God's good pleasure."
There's a divine order in life, in receiving God's blessings and benefits. It's a fundamental key to success. It's called the principle of 633, otherwise known as Matthew 633. And here's how it reads in the Classic Amplified Bible.
"But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. Then all these things taken together will be given you besides."
When we put our relationship with God first, when we seek to implement His risen and written instructions and the Word of God first, when we're obedient to His Word, when we want nothing more than to be in His presence, then and only then will success be ours.
Number two, desire for respect. Everyone wants and desires respect. Even the gang leader wants to be respected by those in his neighborhood, and he's willing to go to any length to get what he determines to be respect. The parent always wants to be respected by their children, as well as their spouse and friends. The worker wants to be respected by their boss and coworkers, even at times when they may not be putting forth their best effort. Sometimes in order to get what we perceive to be lasting respect, we think we need to buy cars or houses or electronic toys to meet that inner need. It's important to remember that we aren't what we own or drive. Lastly, and most importantly, respect comes from God. Leviticus 26:9 says, "For I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you." If you think about it, honey, even Jesus had people who disrespected him.
That's true.
When God respects our lives, which is measured by our obedience to his word, that measures our love to him, then we will gain lasting respect and be blessed beyond measure. In Psalm 119:117, it says, "Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually." Gaining knowledge of the word gains us respect in this life and in the one to come. Hallelujah.
Amen. Number three, desire for financial security. In life, we're either a leaseholder, renter, or an owner. And I'm not talking about houses. For some people, their greatest sense of pride is in revealing the kind of car they own. Statements from which they won't hear, ooh, and ah. The truth of the matter, according to the latest statistics, 84.5% of all new cars are either financed or leased. The average price of a new car is now $35,285. That's up $4,000 from just 3 years ago. But the monthly payment is lower because of crazy things like a 97-month lease.
Yikes.
But let's not stray. A person may say they own their house, their car, but the truth of the matter is they don't, till every last penny of that note is paid. When you're in debt, your financial security is not in yourself, but in the money lender. Proverbs 22:7, contemporary English version. The poor are ruled by the rich, and those who borrow are slaves of the money lenders. Lastly, financial security is when we know we owe no man but to love him or her.
That's right.
Romans 13:8, classic amplified. Keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, who practices loving others, has fulfilled the law relating to one's fellow men, meeting all its requirements. If you're in debt, don't curse or condemn past decisions. Just make a fresh decision to create a plan to get out of debt now.
Number four, desire for dreams to be fulfilled. There beats, or should be, beating within the heart of some a passion, a determination to make their dreams come true. Have you ever thought about how you'd like to be recognized in life? Think of this. Genesis 37:19 is talking about Joseph and his brothers, and this is the way they said to them, about what they said about him. And they said to one another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." The dreamer cometh. You know what?
We like that.
Dreamers are the ones who have dreams that need to come true. You know, Harold's mom will turn 91 in April. And frequently, she'll say, "We're just living the dream." You know, they were dreamers from the day she was born, but I can tell you that she and my father-in-law have done a lot of dreaming and made a lot of dreams come true. Are you living your dream? If not, why not? And more importantly, this is the question, honey, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
Perhaps it'd be good to follow the advice of President Teddy Roosevelt, who once said, "I chose not to be a common man. Me, it's my right to be uncommon if I can. I'll seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I want to take the calculated risk to dream, to build, perhaps to fail, and to succeed.
That's a great quote.
It is. When we begin to dream, things begin to change. And the first change starts within us. And that's the motivation to get us going.
Number five, desire for good health. Would it surprise you to know that Americans spent $60 billion, with a B, billion dollars last year on diet books, diet drugs, weight loss strategies, and in fact, even weight loss surgeries, gym memberships, and other things relating to dieting and losing weight? And just for the record, $40,000 per pound is the amount of money celebrity endorses on the average earn per pound lost.
Wow.
And I always remember Dr. Lester Sumrall speaking at a pastor's luncheon, which I was hosting probably, that's been years ago. Anyhow, one of the questions asked by one of the pastors was, what's the best way to lose weight?
As the blunt man that he was.
He gave a three-word answer. Shut your mouth. Well, let me just tell you. The amount of money we spend on vitamins, minerals, herbs, sports nutrition, botanicals, essential oils, and other things. Over $20 billion last year.
Another B.
That's
B.
it.
Billion with a B.
We spent last year $374 billion with a B on prescription drugs. These numbers point that people are motivated toward good health. For those desiring to walk in good health, here are seven steps, and they're all free. First, a cheerful heart is good medicine, Proverbs 17:22. Second, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Honor God with it, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Third, whatever you eat or drink, do it for the glory of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Or don't do it. Let me add that. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Fourth, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Reject evil. And he will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Proverbs 3:7-8. Fifth, spirit-led conversation is sweet to the soul and healing for the body. Proverbs 16:24. Sixth, worry will not add a single day to your life. Luke 12:25. Seventh, do what the Lord says, and he will heal you. Exodus 15:26. Glory to God.
That's right. Number six, desire for power. And this is God's power, not the world's. Acts 10:38. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth and with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. That's Acts 10:38. First, God anoints you with the Holy Ghost. Second, the Holy Spirit gives you strength, ability, and power beyond even what you thought possible or yourself capable of. Third, you are anointed to do good. You are blessed to be a blessing. Fourth, God will use you to bring inward and outward healing for others. Fifth, the Message Bible translation of Acts 10:38 says that you will bring healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. And sixth, God will be with you as you operate in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And seventh, the last part of Luke 4:18 in the Message Bible, it says to set the burdened and battered free, to announce this is God's year to act.
Hallelujah.
This is our year. This is our time to operate under the anointing.
Number seven, desire to please God. We strongly encourage you to read Colossians 3:22-24 in the Living Bible until it becomes rhema to you. The passage says, you slaves must always obey your earthly masters, not only trying to please them when they're watching you, but all the time. Obey them willingly because of your love for the Lord, because you want to please him. Work hard and cheerfully at all you do, just as though you were working for the Lord and not merely for your masters. Remembering that it is the Lord Jesus who is going to pay you, giving you your full portion of all he owns. He is the one you're really working for. You may want to study that verse. Here's the bottom line. When we desire to please him, then we don't have to worry about them, and success will come knocking on our door.
And if it works for a slave, you know it's going to work for an employee.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Well, till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.